You're listening to Talking Boat Stuff, the Waterways Podcast, where we celebrate everything in, on, and around the water. This episode was recorded live at the 2024 Toronto International Boat Show and is powered by America's Boating Channel. Now, here's your favorite captain of conversation, Stephen Bull.
Podcast episode number two, joined by Nick Lauzon, Director of Marketing for Taiga. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So we're here at the Toronto International Boat Show. I know what Taiga is. Many people don't because it's a fairly new company. So tell me what your company makes and why you're here at the boat show.
Yeah, so Taiga Motors is the global leader in electrification of power sports. And we're here today to present our Orca personal watercraft, fully electric.
So first question I'm sure everyone has is, you know, how long does it last? How far can I go? And then how fast does it go? So I'm sure it's the same questions at your booth. Give me the question and the answers that you're getting constantly.
Perfect. Full spec download. So starting with the range. So our latest model, Orca Performance, you can achieve about 2 hours of playtime on the water. And it takes about 3 hours to fully charge on a level two charger. It was really important for us at Taiga to develop electric product that people didn't feel they would have to make a compromise. So we designed vehicles that are gorgeous looking, sporty, comfortable. You've had a chance to try our Orca Carbon last year in Muskoka, and they can achieve a top speed of 62 miles an hour, so just over 100 kilometers on the water.
Yeah, and I was honestly blown away. I'm not just saying this because you're a guest. I've test driven a lot of different vehicles over the years, from, you know, with Waterways and then before that with Powerboat Television that was on. And it felt and handled and responded exactly like you would expect any other PWC to do. Just when you start it up, there's no sound and all that. And it looks very cool too. Like, you know, obviously it's a performance, but you want it to look good, and it does look good. And so you mentioned level two chargers. So like, what does that mean?
Yeah. So what's really fun about all of our Taiga vehicles is that they can charge into any source of power. So your first option is level one, which is your regular 110 plug. So if you plug it in, that's an overnight charge. So you get basically one ride a day. What we recommend to our customer is to get a level two charger installed at their dock. So for people who have direct water access, this is the best case scenario. You go ride for an hour and a half, you come back to dock, plug it in, and a couple of hours later, you're ready to go again. That's on a 220 volt. And then if you're using public infrastructure or some marinas are starting to have DC fast charge charger available, that's a 40-minute charge to 80% state of charge. And that's really a game changer, because if you think that our Orcas, they're really playful, active type of driving craft, like after an hour, you might want a break, and then you can just stop, grab a bite, you know, take a break, and then you're ready to go back in about 40 minutes.
Yeah, and that's where clearing up too, because when we say an hour of riding, it's not like just putting along a river. Like, this is doing exactly what you're picturing a personal watercraft doing. You can jump waves, you can go ripping across the lake, you can do spins, get wet. And I know I've talked to some friends about this and people that have, you know, internal combustion. I won't say which brand, it doesn't matter. But they said, oh, only an hour? I said, when was the last time you went riding for 60 minutes? Like, they don't go A to B with them. He said, well, I'm sure it's more than an hour. I'm like, really? And then we were driving somewhere. It was 20 minutes. I'm like, so you're telling me you did that times three? He said, actually, no, now that you mention it. So I think even though it's new and the battery technology is only going to get better, you guys are starting at a good spot that fits the Canadian and the international PWC market.
Yeah, and it was really important to find like the best balance to launch these products and bring them to market at this time where people are now familiar with, they've converted their cars. Like, a lot of our customers have already changed to, our customers, they were the first buyers of Tesla. They've started converting their cars to electric, and they're getting to know that routine of, okay, I just need to know where the charging stations are, make sure I'm set up at home or at the cottage. And then it just becomes a new habit that you create. So these customers, they're now looking at, okay, what other areas of my life can I find that same EV technology? Because electric is also super fun. It's super easy for beginners. Whatever you give to the throttle, you get instant response from the jet pump. And it's super fun, super playful, super clean. There's no emission. There's no sound. No more annoying of the neighbors. Like, it's a whole, it transforms your PWC ownership. Like, forget about carrying heavy gas canisters down to the dock, worrying about spillage into the water. There's no spark plugs that need replacing. There's no oil that needs to be changed. So it's really just keeping the fun. So I think just getting used to charging as opposed to filling up with gas is not really a compromise.
I think you're right. I think it's just the change. Because it's different, all people are focused on is that difference now. Not the reality of what they're doing. It's the same, you know, when Tesla first came out, people were like, well, if I can't drive to Thunder Bay from Toronto. When was the last time you drove to Thunder Bay? And if you do, then that's not for you. And that's fine. Not everything's for everyone. So, but most people are in that. You leave your dock, you play a little bit. I also found sort of the origin story of Taiga fascinating. So it started, it traces back to McGill University in Montreal. Is that right?
That is correct. So our three founders were a graduate from McGill University who participated in that school project of electrifying a snowmobile. And that project just became a business model and then a life mission, if you will, of electrifying that segment that's extremely polluting. If you think about, we use snowmobiles and watercrafts to access the great outdoor, it comes at a cost and a conflict of interest, because you know that as you're accessing this outdoor with gas guzzling machines, you're damaging the outdoor that you love. So providing that electric option was great, and it was at a time where Tesla was just starting. There was a lot of noise in the world about that transition to EV, so it was a perfect timing for Tesla.
Yeah, and then the snowmobile, I mean, the challenge with snowmobiles, there's some similarities because snow will melt and there's water and you got to make sure everything's all contained, but with snowmobile, you're dealing with the cold weather and, anyone that has batteries, cold is not good for them, so there's an insulation thing there. And then it's the opposite, generally, with the watercraft, because now we're in the summer and it's running around, but you also have the water. So how can you tell me about that internal, like, this feels like it was almost another challenge that, okay, we did this as a student challenge for snowmobiles, and of the three of them, maybe one of them was like, you think we could do it with watercraft?
Yeah, it's a really interesting story because, of course, it was really important when developing an electric snowmobile to make sure that our batteries could withstand the cold, because what you need from your snowmobile is to start and run well when it's really cold. So Taiga developed our own thermal management system, meaning our batteries don't lose any efficiencies in really, really cold temperature. And once we were satisfied with that technology, then the thought came, okay, it can withstand extreme cold. Can it also withstand extreme heat? And thus the Orca kind of became a proof of that concept, right? And also as a business, it made sense to have the two complementary product line because they're both seasonal products.
Yeah, and then also the snowmobiles look very cool too. And it, you know, is it carbon fiber? Is that the other thing we're talking about here? Or they're not fiberglass, are they?
So our first limited edition Orca Carbon has a top deck and a hull fully made of carbon fiber. And our latest model of Orca, we replaced the carbon fiber with SMC, sheet molded composite. So it's a form of plastic. And basically that all of the learnings that we had from carbon, we transferred into performance, but it's allowed us to shave 10 grand off of the price tag.
Yeah, I was going to say a bit better price tag, but it looks so good. I wasn't sure. I look at them and I just assume carbon fiber probably because of the original ones, but they still have that same sleek look, and it doesn't, to my point, I thought they were carbon fiber still, but that's cool. So you say 10,000?
Yeah, so limited edition carbon is 35,000. We still have some in inventory for customers who would like to procure those. They come in 7 colors of body, 3 colors of seat, DC fast charge enable, basically an all-inclusive limited edition price. And then Orca Performance comes in a white body, black seat configuration, and that one is 25,000.
So, you know, it's in the ballpark of the general PWC, but like anything electric, the initial price is a little bit higher. But I'm guessing, you know, that over time, you mentioned the lack of maintenance that's required and obviously no gas, that it's probably going to come out at the very worst case to be the same as the other ones, maybe even better. Is that right?
Yeah, when we compare roughly like horsepower for horsepower with our equivalent in the gas combustion world, we're probably between 20 and 30% more expensive initial purchase. But then you're probably going to save, what, $1,500 in gas? Then there's no maintenance. Winterization is also much simplified because there are no liquids that need to be winterproofed or anything like that. You just need to give your craft a good wash and dry. Make sure the battery is only at 60%, is at a minimum of 60%, and keep it in a safe space, and it'll be ready to go the next season. So you don't need to worry about that end of season, you know, $600 winterization storage fee.
Oh, that's good. I hate winterization is one of my buttons. So anything that lessens or removes that is good.
Well, we just want to keep the fun, right?
Yeah. See, this is proof that we are live at the Toronto International Boat Show because of the announcements. So while this is happening, so here's a question that I've been asked about all these electric, you know, Mercury's got their outboard, and I think all of it's good. So even though it's technically competition to you, I would view it as positive. The more electrification that happens, the more it's bought in. But you know, people are like, oh, water plus electricity is a no-no. How can this possibly be safe and charging and all that? So let's talk about the safety of everything from charging to operation.
It's perfectly safe. So our battery and powertrain are fully sealed and enclosed. So the water never actually gets to any of that. And that's also because, you know, we have that closed loop system, right? So there's never any water getting into that. And everything is double encased in the hull and top deck, so inside the craft. So it's really, really safe. And I know, like, we've been trying to, about, you know, the dangers of electricity and water, but even if you have a charger at your dock, even if you were to drop that pistol into the water, there's no current that's actually going. So it's really safe. It's just being mindful of it and getting used to it.
Right. And again, people jump to that, and I've been guilty of it. I've had to train my thinking, I think, when it comes to electric watercraft, whether it be outboards, personal watercraft, or like the full-on boats like the Voltari, to not think that, because I don't think that way about an internal combustion engine, and that is a controlled explosion of liquid dinosaurs.
Exactly.
that would be between my legs on a personal watercraft. I don't think twice about a bunch of fiery explosions happening, but my first thought when it's electric is, oh, hang on, is this safe? But I'm sure that's something that's been going on. What's the reaction been like here at the show? I know it's not you were here last year, but it seems like every year it gets sort of more entrenched in the industry. Are people buying them? What are people saying? And are there questions? Is there going to be something different coming? So three questions in one question there for you.
Yeah, so it's very exciting for us to be back here at the Toronto Boat Show. I mean, last year we found that there was very little awareness of Taiga in the boating industry. If you think that we started producing and delivering vehicles only the past couple of years, like, we're still an up-and-coming player in the industry. But now we've increased our marketing efforts, we're on social networks, and people are seeing us this year. They're like, oh, you were here last year. And one surprise that we had is that we brought a snowmobile with us, because this is Toronto in the middle of the winter, so people are shopping for boats, but they're also very interested in seeing that technology in our snowmobile. And last year we introduced Orca Carbon, our first limited edition model, and this year we brought with us Orca Performance, which is our newest model of watercraft.
And you guys are also doing demonstrations on the indoor lake here as well.
That is correct. So most days around 4 o'clock, people can check the schedule and there'll be a little demo. We can't go really fast because it's an indoor pool the size of an ice rink, but you can still hear the sound of the water, or the no sound of the engine, if you will.
So the word performance is in the name of one of the models. You know, if you're a family or you got kids, you hear the word performance and maybe you're scared off and you're like, no, these are just high end. So are these for the more hardcore rider, or are these family-friendly units?
I think they can be for both. We hit a top speed of 100 kilometers per hour with the craft, but obviously you don't have to go that fast if you don't want to. All of our vehicles have three drive modes. Range mode limits your power output, so it reduces kind of the sensitivity of the throttle. It's a very good mode if you have kids or guests that are not so used to riding personal watercraft and you want to make sure that they take it easy to start. And it's also a really good mode to be approaching the dock at low speed. So it gives you like a smoother, more controlled approach. Then we have sport mode, which is our everyday sort of balanced acceleration, playfulness on the water. And then we have wild mode, which is all out power. And when I say all out power, it means that you get access to that 120 kilowatts of power instantly through the direct drive. Anything you give to the throttle goes straight into the jet pump.
Yeah, so more people now are quite familiar with Teslas and have seen videos. It's that same sort of thing. It doesn't ramp up. It's just, it goes. And the only thing that limits your acceleration is the friction of the water to get you going. I was blown away when you told me about it. You said if you put it in wild mode, hang on. If you hit the throttle, you were not kidding.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, wild mode is really fun if you want to do like a rocket launch start off, or if you want to do like straight line acceleration on a calm lake. Like, it's really, really fun. Personally, I like sport mode. A lot of people try wild mode just for a few minutes just to get that adrenaline going. But I find that sport mode is plenty for most people.
Yeah, same. It's you're not going to be doing 100 kilometers an hour all the time. You're not going to be doing those rocket launches all the time, but if you want to, and you know what, I bet those are the most popular when you got your friends up and you're like, hey, check this out, put it in wild mode, go. Let's talk about the company a little bit more. So started with the McGill students. Are you still based in the Montreal area?
Yeah, we are. So the company was founded in 2015. In 2021, we went public on the Toronto Stock Exchange. And we have our factory, R&D, global headquarters, all in Montreal, Canada.
And I've been, you know, you look on the website and all that stuff and you see some photos of the manufacturing. Is it getting, you have to ramp up? Do you need more space? Because I know it's getting more popular, and to fulfill all of this, you're going to need more space. So tell me about the manufacturing. Is that all done in Canada or is that somewhere else? Is it just the design that's done here?
Everything is done in Canada. We actually have our factory near, like at the ground level of our office. Last year, we've achieved the production of our 1,000th units, and our objective is to continue ramping up. So we achieved also like a production output of 50 units per week, and the target is to continue growing. So our Montreal factory has a capacity of 8,000 units per year, so there's still plenty of room to grow in that location.
And all right, you're the director of marketing. Now let's dive into that, because before I got into this boating world and did a journalism degree, I did a marketing degree, so I'm always fascinated by this sort of thing. So it's a relatively new technology. It's, for all intents and purposes, a new company compared to, you know, the Sea Rays and Boston Whalers of the world. And it's not the cheapest. So when you're positioning the marketing and the message, who are your target market, and what are the key selling features in your mind about? Let's stick with the Orca. We'll leave the snowmobiles for a sec.
Yeah. So in terms of the watercraft, what we find is that our customers are perhaps slightly older, obviously because of the disposable income. So late 40s, early 50s. A lot of these customers have transitioned their cars and trucks to EV. A lot of these customers have property on the water. We've focused on the key markets, the key Canadian markets, so Quebec, Ontario, British Columbia, where there's lakes and water access. In terms of the U.S., we're focused on the South Belt, so Florida, Texas, and California are our key markets. We operate a direct-to-customer hybrid model, meaning that the customers purchase their vehicles directly from the manufacturer, and we work with an established network of what we call Taiga service providers. So traditionally, this would be your local dealer who will do the final mile delivery, the pre-delivery inspection for you, and will act as your local point of contact should you ever need servicing or anything for your craft.
Okay, so I don't have a Tesla, but I know like multiple friends have been getting them, and same kind of thing. It's not the traditional model, but it's not something brand new that you've created. So this, we know this works, and it works well for customers by the sense of things. What's the U.S. response been? So I know it started here and in Quebec and all that stuff. And, you know, if there's something local in anything, you have, you know, you're rooting for it a little bit more. But if you're in Texas, you don't care about Quebec in the same way that if it's Texas, you're in Quebec, you don't care about something made in Texas have any more like, oh, I should support that. But North American made is always good, and it's a great product. So what's the response in that Southern Belt been?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. And, you know, it's very strategically, not just because these are warmer sort of climes, but also because Texas, California, and Florida are both the top boating markets and the top EV markets in the U.S. So there's a really nice crossover here where 1+1 equals Taiga.
I like that. What's next? What else are you guys? You, the snowmobile was impressive, and then you added the PWC. I bet there's going to be something else. Can you give us any sneak
peeks? Well, there's plenty still in the pipeline. The questions that we get are you going to improve on the range? Obviously, R&D is not finished at Taiga. We want to continue leading that charge in the transition towards EV and maintaining our 7 years R&D advance that we have against the customers. So yeah, nothing that we can reveal yet, but if you want to follow us on social, you'll be the first ones to know.
Yeah, so give us all that. What are the social handles and the website?
Yeah, so you can follow us on Instagram at Taiga Motors. And if you want to find out all the information on our products, go to taigamotors.com.
Perfect. Well, Anik, thank you so much for your time. I hope you have a good rest of the show. And if you're interested, come check them out. The booth location is kind of near the lake kind of area. Same spot you were last year, right? So high traffic.
Exactly. So we're at booth 136. We're here all week. And we'd love to talk to you, answer all of your questions. And we actually have a special on our Watercraft, $2,500 off our Watercraft during the show. So if you want to lock in a special offer and get the best value for your EV personal Watercraft, now's the time.
Perfect. I have one more question I have to throw in that I forgot to ask. So when you're doing when it's the direct-to-consumer purchase thing and there's not the traditional dealership. So you mentioned the local point person. So you're not, it's not just some website and I have to go through a chat thing. If I have an issue or I want to do some repairs or something has happened, I have some, like there's a human being that can help me nearby generally, or is it, I have to do it myself?
There's plenty of people who will be happy to help you. The first point of contact, obviously, is through our website. But then we have our in-house service team that will be there for you. You have your local sales rep that will be there for you. And then there's your local Taiga service provider that will be there for you. So we're happy to answer customers' questions. Like a lot of people have very specific setup, or they want to bring their orcas on their bigger boats. So we're always happy to have these conversations. This is a new thing that we're building together. So we want to hear what you have in mind and then see if we can help you and jump in that sort of party of electric watercraft.
I love it. All right. Well, continue the good work. It's super fun. That media day I went to was not enough. I need to do another ride. I also want to test out the snowmobile. I'm a bad Canadian. I have never been on a snowmobile ever.
So we'll make sure to arrange that for you, Steve.
Deal. Thank you very much.
Thank you.